Thanks for joining us for Take Care. I'm Jason Smith.
And I'm Catherine Loper. So, Jason, do you know your BMI?
BMI, like body mass index? Should I?
That depends on who you ask. Believe it or not, body mass index has been around since the mid-1800s, but wasn't used to define obesity until the 1980s. It's that chart you see in the doctor's office with your height on one axis and your weight on the other. Trace those two to the center of the chart and you get your BMI.
Now, some believe that BMI isn't an accurate measure of obesity, that it has limitations. It doesn't distinguish between fat and muscle, for example, so when does BMI break down? Dr. Francisco Lopez Jimenez joins us to discuss BMI. He's Division Chair of Preventive Cardiology at the Mayo Clinic. He spoke with our producer, Mark Lavonier.
Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for the invitation.
Now, many of our listeners likely know what BMI stands for, Body Mass Index, and that it's a measure of obesity. Is that the gist of it, or is there more to know about BMI?
Yeah, BMI has been described for about 200 years. Start being used in medicine in the mid-90s. It's something that has been used for many years by mathematicians, but in the medical area, it's relatively new.
So how did it start to integrate itself into the medical community?
Well, that's an excellent question because, see, before 1990, there was really no official way to diagnose obesity. Back then, doctors would call ideal body weight or non-ideal body weight, based primarily on some charts from insurance companies. And at some point, it was proposed to use the BMI, which is a relationship between the height and weight. And that was primarily based on epidemiologic data showing that those with some increased BMI will have an increased risk for death and diabetes and high blood pressure. That was basically the reasoning behind that. But I think it's important to recognize that the concept of having a standard definition of obesity is relatively new in medicine. I mean, it's about 30 years old.
This sounds like this was an insurance matter to start with, the company sort of determining that so they could then determine the risk of their clients. Do you feel in any way that this was an important step to have that gap be bridged from it being an insurance matter to really a medical matter or definition?
I think so. I think it was an important step. I think we need to recognize that historically obesity has been neglected as a medical condition for many, many years. And I think it was an important step to give a definition. So it moved from belonging to the insurance companies, then it moved to the realm of the epidemiologist, and then turned into the clinician's hands. Now, important in many ways because by having a way to diagnose, I think we can increase the awareness. But the main problem is that something that was used in a population basis, which is what the epidemiologist demonstrated, turn into a measurement to be used individually, which wasn't the original intention by no means.
Speaking of the individual, when you type in BMI into a search engine online, you get the body mass index calculator right at the top of the results usually. And from there, you can type in your weight and your height and get that BMI calculation. That seems almost too simple, though, in a way. So if a few men, let's say, who are 5'8 and 160 pounds use this calculator, they'd all have a BMI of 24.3. But couldn't they all look very different?
Oh, absolutely. And this is one of the main limitations of this measurement. I mean, it's basically based on weight, and everything weights, muscle mass weights, bones, fat, water, and therefore anything that affects weight will affect the measurement. We have seen through the years that this is actually a very good measurement of fatness when the number is very high. So it would be naive to believe that a BMI of 35 is wrong. I mean, a person with a BMI of 35 certainly has significant obesity. And at the same time, a person with a very low BMI, meaning like 17, 16, that will be considered in the underweight category, that person will have a very low amount of fat. The problem is the middle ranges. That's where the measurement can give a significant amount of error.
So at the very least, it points you in the right direction because let's say a bodybuilder had the BMI of 35, they would just have to have a massive amount of muscle, and this is more of a general indicator.
I think so, yeah. And I will say with a BMI of 35, unless the person is a professional, you know, world champion bodybuilder, very likely has at least a lot of fat and probably some, you know, fair amount of muscle mass, but at the very least, you can say that when the BMI gets that high, it implies some degree of obesity. But again, most of the population will actually fall in those ranges between 18 to 30, where you might see a significant variation. And we have shown this in many studies, how if you get 100 people with a BMI that is exactly 25, you will see a big range of body fat percentage, from 10% to 40% body fat, everybody with the same, exactly the same BMI.
Because it does seem to be sort of a sensitive topic when you get, you know, to the BMI if you're introduced to it for the first time. So are there any adjustments that can be made to that BMI to account for your body's composition of fat and muscle?
I think recognizing that is useful for screening purposes when you identify somebody with a very high or very low value, I think that's a pretty good start. Now, the main question is what to do next. And I think it's a mistake to consider the results of the BMI in the intermediate range as something that you have to act upon. For example, somebody with a BMI of 27 might have a lot of body fat because, let's say, the person never exercises and might have 40% body fat. That's a lot of fat. But at 27 will not necessarily indicate obesity, will indicate being in the overweight category. But by the other hand, a person who is bodybuilder or a person who exercises regularly might have a BMI of 27 and might be perfectly healthy. That person should not be pursuing any sort of weight loss. And that's when we need to do something else. And the refinement is where you will see a lot of different opinions, but at the minimum, we'll be measuring central fatness, and that's relatively simple, measuring the waist circumference.
With BMI being relatively new, are there efforts underway in the healthcare community to find an even better measure?
Well, certainly. There are different things we are trying or pushing to be used more often. I mean, one and the simplest will be trying to address central obesity, and the reason is because fat affects health, but fat in the abdomen is certainly the most dangerous. To address obesity as a whole, I really believe that we have to move to the next step, which is measuring body fat. Trying to determine obesity just with BMI is like trying to diagnose diabetes as it used to be diagnosed 200 years ago, which was, you know, testing the urine, and if it was sweet, the person was diagnosed with diabetes. So using BMI to diagnose obesity is a pretty inaccurate way. So measuring obesity by measuring the fat directly is something that is relatively simple, and there are different methods out there to do it, bioimpedance or DEXA or other machines that are available in most hospitals.
Okay, well, thanks very much for taking the time to speak with us today, Doctor.
Welcome. Thank you for the invitation, Mark.